Good afternoon to one and all. First, it's a pleasure to be able to be here with you, reporting on progress made in the area of the law which covers quotas for people of African descent. You had asked about the progress. What we have to say is that the state still has not reached the quota that was set. This is something that we've been working on. There is a great deal of effort being put into this, and there's a commitment in the country, but so far, in average, we have around 1.8% of Afro-descendant people that have entered into the state's system. We also, over the last 2 years, have been affected greatly by COVID, but this is a problem that we have as a country. Partly also, this has to do with something that was mentioned, and that's the low level of training of the Afro descendants because of school dropouts and other factors that have them not meeting the requirements for these posts. As regards the consultation, the question on unemployment and underemployment, there are two specific measures. February of 2022, if one sees the report from 22, we see that the wage gap in the informal is 9%. A change to 9% for 9%, but it's 20 some percent for the Afro-descendant population. That does show a 1-point improvement in a short period of time as well. But there was a small improvement as regards the work in the informal sector. And if we do the same as regards underemployment, we also mentioned that underemployment was at 14% for Afro-descendants in February. If we look at the period January, April 2022, the underemployment was at 13.1% was at 8% for non-Afro-descendants. So there was a reduction of 1 percentage point for the people of African descent in underemployment. That's not good news. It doesn't leave us satisfied, but it is important to note that this has come in a context marked by the pandemic. The health crisis affected the employment sector the world over, and specifically in Latin America, where the unemployment rates and the informal market and sector and the underemployment increased greatly, particularly in the vulnerable populations. We need to continue to work on this. We're not satisfied, but I do think it's important to bear in mind in what the context that is for these numbers. As regards the wage gap between men and women, the report that we have shows that in the first half of 2021 shows that it was at 19%. Women make some 81% of the male salary. That is a small improvement over the previous numbers, but we clearly have much to do as a country to close this gap. Not so much in legislation, but really in the area of reducing and eliminating this gap. This is a challenge, and certainly this challenge will take us years to tackle. I can't forecast how many years that will take, but it is there is information on that. Education, I don't have data on education for people of African descent and people with disability, but there are training efforts. If we look at the last 3 years and the training that the National Institute for Professional Training and Labor has been undertaking to train people, we see that over the last 3 years, 12% of those who have been in these programs, 12.6% in fact, were people of African descent, and similar numbers we saw with people with disabilities, more than 12%. 12.1%, I believe, in 2019. In 2021, it was 12.7% of the training was for people with disabilities. As regards employment, and particularly in the LGBTI community and trans individuals, there is an agreement that was recently signed. It has been implemented between the Ministry of Social Development and the Ministry of Labor. The idea is to improve the employability of this sector. And there are three ideas: making sure they complete their educational cycle and instead of having dropouts. This leaves them in many cases outside of the labor market, and also to have access to training to improve their skills and to develop strategies also to favor labor insertion. This is a pilot project, and this will allow us to generate input as we move forward to when it comes to help improving their labor presence. Also, as regards access to employment, we have a program for youth between 16 and 20 years of age that are studying. We offer them scholarships in the state's apparatus in the case of people of African descent. We are seeking to cover this with quotas, and in 2021, 11% of these scholarships were for people of African descent. We undertook a change in how we calculated the quota. We are now calculating the quota nationally instead of just our populated areas. And there's a lottery system. First, we have the 8% quota, and then afterwards, the people of African descent can participate in the regular lottery after the quota. So that brings us to 11%. It was similar with the trans community. It was 2% of the scholarships and persons with disabilities in 2021. 5% of the scholarships went to that community, persons with disabilities. Further, in order to improve the employability of these vulnerable populations, we have a law on the promotion of jobs, and we see a new tool. The idea is to give access to jobs and increase the employability of persons with disabilities through subsidies to companies, to the private sector. Two things. One, the subsidies is very much above. It's between 4 and 6 times higher than the previous laws that offered such subsidies. And there is no minimum. A company that has one employee can hire someone with a disability and still receive a subsidy. Right now, we are beginning to work also with civil society, with the support of civil society, in order to disseminate this program among the private sector. For people of African descent, we have an agreement with the local state governments that will allow for companies that hire people of African descent living below the poverty line have a 60% of the salary subsidized and 80% subsidized if it is a woman of African descent living below the poverty line. Thank you very much.